with that, moving into where we are, last week we saw in verses 1 through 3 of Matthew chapter 24, the disciples really being uncomfortable with all of the rebukes and corrections that the Lord has just brought to the disciples, to the Pharisees and the scribes, as well as the Lord prophesying Israel's immediate future, which would be desolation, but he also prophesied, again, their eternal future, which would be salvation. But after all of that, remember we saw them coming there to the temple, and the disciples, we see they're uncomfortable with what Jesus said because they begin to point out the stones of the temple and how beautiful all the buildings were. And it was the Pharisees and these religious individuals that the Lord was rebuking that tended to those sayings and kept those sayings up and so forth. So it was really them saying, well, Jesus, they can't be that bad. Look at all of this. Look at everything around us. And from there, we saw Jesus getting specific about his prophetic utterance that, again, in that desolation that was going to come upon Israel, that specifically there, where the temple was, not one stone would be left on top of the other. Not talking about the foundation stones, but the stones of the temple. And we saw how that was fulfilled some 35, give or take a few years later, when, again, the Roman soldiers threw a torch there in the temple in the midst of a civil war where the Jews were trying to throw off the bondage that they were under from the Romans, and that it melted all the gold there and it went between the cracks, and all of those stones were literally taken apart, every single one of them, by those soldiers to get that gold. From there, as the disciples associated the destruction of the temple with the end of the age, that was their mindset. And again, they were right in that there will be a third temple for the Antichrist that will be destroyed when Christ comes back. And then we read about a millennial temple in Ezekiel 40 through 48. But them associating that truth with the end of the age, they asked this glorious question of the Lord, which we can be so thankful that they asked Jesus. They said, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And then from there, the Lord began to tell them. And we saw there in verses 4 through 13, which we're going to start into this morning, the Lord began to describe what the world would look like before him coming for his church. We'll see this morning, he calls these things the beginning of sorrows. It's compared to a woman in labor and how a woman will go into labor and those, again, birth pains will begin to come. And as they get closer and closer to that child being birthed, those pains get more and more intense and they become more and more frequent. And so we begin to look at these sayings that the Lord told us would be abounding before he comes. And then from there, in the next section, it talks about Israel and the great tribulation. And we'll get to that down the road. But this morning, we'll look specifically of the sign of deception and the fact that Jesus talks about this more than anything else in conveying to his disciples what will be the signs of the coming and the end of age. Over and over, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And we are living in a day access to so much knowledge, but in the midst of it, there is so much deception. So much deception that's coming to the church. The word speaks of this, as well as deception in the world. Things get reported. I know my first reaction is, okay, what's really true in this and what's not true? And it just seems as if there's more and more of it. It's prophetic. The Lord spoke of it. He also speaks of wars and rumors of wars. Wars abounding and rumors of them. Boy, sounds like the time we're living in. And then he speaks of just famines and pestilence and earthquakes and increasing amount of these things. Now, in the midst of all of this, you know what? Oftentimes when these things are talked about, you know, people begin to get worried and so forth. And we're going to look at, in the midst of the Lord telling us what things would be increasing, the instruction he gives to us. He says, there's going to be a lot of deception, people coming in my name. And so he says, take heed to yourself that you're not deceived. And so we're going to look at some tools God's given to us to walk in to help us have discernment, to keep us from being deceived. And he also says, don't let your heart be troubled. And we're going to look at, well, at some truths God's given to us that we can walk in and stand in, that no matter what's going on around us, we don't need to be troubled because of the promises and the truths of Scripture. And so I think that's incredibly valuable for us. So let's read together. I'm going to start actually in verse 1 and then read down to verse 8. And then we'll get into this and just start going through it verse by verse. It says that Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now notice how they start. They ask a question, and then Jesus gives them an answer. And this is just so awesome because, I don't know about you, I got a lot of questions. And usually when I have one question, other questions come out of that first question that I had. And beautifully, you know what? The Lord has given us the Word of God, and the Word of God has answers. And the answers found in the Word of God are answers that are 100% accurate. We're a blessed people in that. Let's not begin to take that for granted. Let's be a people that have a high regard for the word of truth, the Scripture that God has given to us to convey his heart and his mind to us, that he has given to us to give us the plan of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified and raised from the dead, and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and him alone. And let's rejoice as well in the fact that we have insider information that we know is true, as well as the fact that God welcomes our questions. Listen, he doesn't get angry with us when we have questions. He wants us to bring questions to him. He says there in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. I think the key in this, though, is coming with a sincerity, coming with questions, again, to the Lord that we really want answers to. And if we want those answers, obviously it starts by coming to the Lord in prayer, but then also following the instruction God's given to us to be able to discover those questions or those answers to those questions. And that's found with a sincerity that is seen in digging into the Scriptures, getting into the Word of God, getting into it again ourselves, and have a hungering for the word of truth. Notice what it says there in Proverbs 2:1, my son, and then this is a key, if you receive my words, now follow with me where this goes, and treasure my commands within you. So again, he speaks of the word, receiving the word, treasuring the word, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. So this is us, again, receiving the word, treasuring the word, inclining our ear to the wisdom of the word. Some people want answers, but they don't want to incline their ear to where the answers are found. And apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, notice, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So again, the Lord's inviting us to come reason with him. The Lord's inviting us to bring our questions to him. And absolutely, he is then telling us, you want to find those answers, you pray, and then you get into the Word of God. And as you get into the Word of God, the Spirit of God, who wrote the Word of God, as he moved on, holy men of God will begin to give you insight, will begin to give you understanding. We'll begin to, again, help you with those things that are on your heart. And listen, there's some things that again, specifics maybe, that we don't find the answer in exactly, but we'll find the assurance that we're in God's hands, and we'll find the assurance that, again, in time, all things will be revealed, sometimes in our lifetime and others when we go to be with the Lord. But let's take heed to this. The disciples bring their question to Jesus, and Jesus brings answer. And boy, what a question they bring. And so now the Lord begins to answer the question. What will be the sign of his coming and the end of the age? And again, we read it, but verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. And then he follows up, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. He says to take heed. This means to beware. It means to perceive. It means to be seeing things. Listen, we're called to do this always. We get instruction like this in Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but wise. A circumspect walk is one with head up, eyes forward, looking of your surroundings, looking at what's before you, judging the situation, again, testing things and so forth. Not, again, with a heart to try to tear people down and exalt ourselves or with a hypercritical spirit, but instead to be alert of our surroundings, to look past the end of our nose to the Lord, to the unfoldings of things around us, to the people around us and what they're going through, as well as what's going on in our own hearts. We need to take heed. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but understanding be mature. Again, understand what's happening around you. Mature. It's a call not to be naive, but to be, again, shrewd as a serpent. God's called us to that. Listen, God's called us to be a people that understand the times, that are looking around of what's happening in the world, in our community, in our home, and so forth, not just to bury our head in the sands. And there's a lot of people that do that. They want to be naive. In fact, they think that that's a godly virtue, being in this place of again, ignorance and being naive and just cutting themselves off kind of to what everything's going on around them, as well as the reality of what's going on in their lives and in their hearts. Look, he says that's what children do, and we're not called to be such. We also read in context, speaking of the coming of the Lord, it says there in Romans 13:11, do this knowing the time, knowing that it's high time to awake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And it's easy to, again, to begin to get lulled to sleep, to be circumspect during COVID-19, but then we pass that. Now we're normal, and people just begin to fall back asleep when it comes to their own walk with the Lord, the things going on in their community, the things going on in their nation, and beyond that. No, let's make sure that we're not a people that are falling asleep, that we're not being children in understanding, but we're being circumspect. We are behaving with wisdom and not acting the fool in these things that God has called us to. So the Lord says to take heed, to, again, beware, to perceive, to see. And then he says, take heed that no one deceives you. And this word deceive in the Greek, listen, it's a broad word. It means to go astray. It means to be seduced. It means to wander off or roam from safety. And again, obviously, it's the picture of being led by someone away from safety into danger, to be seduced and to be brought into a place of harm, to drift from the Lord in our walks. Again, we get these instructions and these exhortations throughout the scripture to take heed because we have an enemy of our soul who is out to destroy us. He wants to destroy the soul of the non-believer and the walk and the witness of the believer in Christ. Jesus describes him in John 10:10 as a thief. And he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And again, we need to remember this. We need to be circumspect. We read in Peter that we have an adversary that walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Peter tells us to be sober, again, to be vigilant, to be wise. He wants to absolutely drift us from the Lord, from the truth of the word, to get following another Jesus. And the Bible speaks of such, as well as following lies and having a low view of the word of truth, the word of God. And again, so often he does this through just seduction. And seduction is something that oftentimes happens gradually. It's a gradual drift, again, with a luring away and so forth. Notice 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve," or you could say, "as the serpent seduced Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And if he who comes preaches another Jesus." And what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about other Jesuses. And he said there's going to be many people peddling false Christ. "If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which we have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted," notice here, "you may well put up with it. And if you're lulled asleep and a false Christ comes in, a false spirit, a different gospel, oftentimes that's when people put up with it because they don't even recognize or realize what is going on." And let's remember again in this, listen, Satan doesn't just show up and he doesn't just send his soldiers and his stooges saying, "Hey, we're here to lie to you. We're here to deceive you." No, it is acts of seduction. It's secretly bringing in heresies and untruths we read in the Word of God. It's the enemy, again, slowly moving us into error. You go back, right back to the garden, again, as God told Adam and Eve, "Don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Satan didn't just come into Eve and say, "Eat it, eat it, eat it." He didn't do that. Remember, he started by attacking God and the Word of God. Did God really say? Is God's Word really true? You know what? Maybe God's word is wrong. And sadly, there's a lot of that thinking in the church today. Men with a low view of Scripture. I have to wonder, have they ever been saved by the gospel of the Scripture to have a low view of the Word of God? And then again, he begins to say, "God knows if you eat of the tree, you're not going to die. And that day you'll be of God." Again, slowly moving her from truth into error. And then she begins to look at the fruit and consider the fruit. And more she's leaving God's word behind. Well, it looks good to eat. It looks good to make one wise. Next thing you know, she plucks it and has it in her hand. And then again, we know tragedy strikes as she eats. And then she gives to her husband and he eats. Deception abounds around us. And again, Satan oftentimes works it through an angle of seduction. And again, it's not just him. But we read in the word, he has many soldiers, and I always say many stooges as well. And the soldiers to me are the wolves who know, and the stooges are the hirelings that again use Christ just to get a paycheck, and they really don't care about the gospel, the souls of people upholding the truth. They don't have a fear of God, recognizing the day will come when they're going to give an account as a teacher, a preacher, a pastor, and so forth. Notice 2 Corinthians 11:12. It says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast." So Paul's saying part of my call is to cut off liars. Part of my call is to cut off false apostles, false evangelists, false pastors. He says, "I got a call from God to stand up for the truth and call out liars." And that's not just Paul's call. We have a call on our lives as well. He says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." Notice, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Again, deceiving. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works. Guys, this isn't just a few scriptures here and there in the Word. The Old Testament continually talks about false prophets. And so much more does the New Testament. Jesus preached on these things. The apostles preached on these things. Again, Jesus right now is telling us. They say, what will be the sign of the coming and the end of your age? What's the first thing Jesus says? Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We better take that to heart. Because I see a lot of people and talk to a lot of people that don't take any of that to heart. They're naive. They bury their head in the sand. They think it's a sin to test a man's doctrine who's in a pulpit who has written a book because they have been seduced to think that that is righteous. Again, I don't have a call to judge anyone's heart, but I have a call to judge fruit, to judge doctrine, starting with my own, amen. Let's start with our own. But the Lord is telling us, take heed. You might be deceived. You might be deceived by someone saying, I am anointed, someone coming in the name of the Lord, preaching a false Christ, and God does not want us to fall into that trap. And again, the enemy is so good in it. He appears as an angel of light. Notice well, again, take heed that no one, and as it says, no one here deceives you, many will come in my name. I think we got to understand that there's no one who is an untouchable. There's certain people, certain names come up, and boy, I would never test what they're saying. Look, it tests what I'm saying up here. I give you liberty to do that. Is what Pastor Steve's saying of the Word of God. I want that accountability. When I come over to preach, I want you to see what I'm preaching, where it is in the Word of God. That's always been my aim, and you can't go wrong doing that. But listen, any of us can get led astray. Any of us, again, could begin to drift. It's so important the congregations are keeping their pastors accountable. Not, again, that you're sitting there with a spirit of criticism and so forth, and you're just sitting there to try to find fault. Because if you do, you're going to find fault to me. I need the shed blood of the Lord over me just as you do. But absolutely, asking the question is what's being preached from this pulpit found in the Word of God? And when there's certain names and certain individuals out there that become untouchables, and a lot of times these untouchables have a lot of false teaching that goes along with them. Part of the reason they've become an untouchable is because they're so popular with so many people, and oftentimes that's because they're tickling a lot of ears. The Lord himself said, woe to you when all men speak highly of you. That's how they spoke of the false prophets. So again, see that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. It's huge. Again, so many scriptures that absolutely go along with this. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue the things which you've learned. And it goes talking about the scriptures. There's deceivers. They're abounding in their deception as well as in being deceived themselves. Oftentimes they believe their lies. But as for you, continue in the Word of God. Stand in the Word of God. Don't drift from the Word of God. Make the Word of God the standard of your life. Can we say amen to that this morning? We saw this earlier in Matthew. It's also recorded in Luke when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And he says there, and what is the kingdom of God like? It's there in Luke 13:18. And what shall I compare it? He says, it is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden. It grew and became a large tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again, he said, what shall I like in the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. Listen, this is Jesus telling us that the church is going to become something it wasn't meant to be. Because mustard seeds are supposed to produce bushes and not trees. And in all of the Lord's parables, the birds of the air are always associated with Satan. They absolutely are. The parable of the sower. Who goes and snatch the seeds by the side? It's those birds. And the Lord says those birds are Satan. He's saying here the church is going to become something that it's not meant to be. It's supposed to be a humble bush that had humble beginnings. A mustard seed is the smallest seed that you are going to find. But it's become this tree. It's an aberration. Go read in the Old Testament how many times trees are associated with the pride of men, used as an illustration. So he's saying here, it's going to become something that's full of pride. It's that Laodicean church. Look at us. We're wealthy. We're rich. We have need of nothing. And when that happens, when you get full of pride, you know what you get in the branches of your tree? You get a bunch of dirty birds in that tree, a bunch of evil in it. We also, again, see leaven. Everywhere in the scripture, leaven is associated with sin. The Lord told us to purge out the leaven. But instead, it speaks about the church here being filled with leaven. Again, put in a drawer that is dark and all of the lump. Matthew brings that out. The whole leaven or the whole lump gets full of leaven. And you see it so much, almost like a cobweb system of just heresy that is abounding in Christendom today. You're like, hey, Steve, come on, your opinion. We don't want that. I'll give you my opinion, and that is my opinion, but the Word of God is saying this. Jesus Christ said, again, to take heed, that you're not deceived. Many will come in my name saying, I'm in the Christ, and will deceive many. Can we receive that this morning? If you're resistant to these things, if you're like, I don't like hearing this, you're not saying, I don't like hearing what Steve's saying about this. You're saying, I don't like what Jesus says about this. Because look at it, I'm teaching and expositing the passage, but listen, Jesus hits it in a nutshell of all we need to know. Look at, you better wake up, because there's many liars and they're gonna come in the name of Christ. They're gonna come in my name. It's him saying they're going to come right up in the church and they are going to deceive many. And again, the Word of God just speaks of this so much. Many will be deceived. This morning, are you walking in truth or are you walking in deception? Do the people you listen to, the books you read, the authors you read, are they grounded in truth or are they deceivers? Notice there, 2 Peter 2:1, there will also be false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Again, it's a seduction. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And then notice verse 2. And many will follow the destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. This is from the Christian Post, May 16th, 2022. A new study from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University has found that just 37% of Christian pastors in the United States have a biblical worldview. That's pathetic. Demonstrating that spiritual awakening is needed just as desperately in our pulpits as in our pews, according to the pollster. The nationwide study of about 1,000 Christian pastors found that just slightly more than a third, 37%, of the U.S. pastors hold a biblical worldview. The majority, 62%, possess a hybrid worldview known as syncretism. The study released Thursday showed 41% of senior pastors, as compared to 28% of associate pastors, have a biblical worldview. So only 28% of associate pastors. Further, and this is frightening, only 13% of teaching pastors and 12% of children's and youth pastors have a biblical worldview. Who are the children's pastors and the youth pastors? Generally the ones that later on become the senior pastor. I was a youth pastor in this church for a few years before I became the senior pastor. Only 12%? That's frightening. The lowest level of biblical worldview is among executive pastors, with only 4% of them holding consistent biblical beliefs and behaviors. And you're like, man, why is that so low? Because generally it's the mega church that has an executive pastor. That's generally the reason why for that. They're like, all mega churches evil? No, I guess, you know what? Maybe a handful of them are biblical and sound. And again, it's pulpit by pulpit, but only 4% have a biblical worldview. That is utterly frightening. The research included 54 worldwide related questions, and it found only 40% of pastors have a biblical worldview regarding family and the value of life, 44% concerning issues related to God, creation, and history, 43% in relation to personal faith practices, 43% when it comes to matters of sin, salvation, and one's relationship with God. So no doubt, again, salvation is in Christ alone. And how many say, well, multiple roads will lead you to God? Yeah, the judgment of God, but only one road getting you into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that this morning? 40% pertaining to human character and human nature, and 40% when it comes to measures of lifestyle, personal behavior, and relationship. And listen, the sad thing with this is 37% when surveyed have a biblical worldview, but so many of that 37% only have it on paper. Because when it comes to teaching in their pulpit and the practice, it's not found. Look, you got to look past the statement of faith nowadays. Statement of faiths are thrown out, but is that being practiced in the lives of the leadership, and is it being proclaimed in the pulpit? Notice as well, again, him speaking of this deception. He speaks of it many times in this chapter. It's deception in the church, but there's also so much deception in the world. Again, so much propaganda, fake science. Boy, we went through a lot of that, did we not? And they're like, well, no one told you to get that shot. Yeah, people were trying to call it out, and you got shut down as some evil person by saying, hey, has this even been tested? It's science. Well, what kind of science are we talking about here? Again, just so many agendas in news reporting. And then you talk about deception, this artificial intelligence. You see a video now on social media, and the first question is, wait a minute, is this real? Can babies really talk and have these conversations? Do they really shrink this 48-year-old back into a small baby having a how did that baby get a beard? And it looks so real. It's frightening. Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the principles of the world, not according to Christ. So we're talking about deception in the church, but also deception in the world. And there's many a believer that begins to drift from the word because they get drawn into the principles of the world. What's the world say about a matter? What's the world say about this sin? What's the world say about how you were born and so forth? When the scriptures give us the answer, and the scripture answers always line up with actually real science. Science that's tested, science that's observed, like life can only come from life. Right? That's observable science versus we just believe there was a bang and out of the slime came an amoeba and then bam, billions of years later, you got men. Bro, that's not science. That is called a delusion. That is called a lie you're desperately holding on to because you're trying to harden your heart to the conviction of the Spirit of God that you're going to stand before Him one day and give an account. Well, quickly here, how do we take heed? What's some instruction for us to help us in this? Listen, I think one of the biggest parts of taking heed is that we have to want to take heed. We have to be a people who want to walk in the truth versus wanting to have our ears tickled. This is a choice we have to make. Do I want truth? And let's face it, sometimes the truth hurts, does it not? The truth stings. God's word is a sword, and there's times when it's like, ooh, I wish I hadn't read that. I just got cut deeply. But God's word cuts us to remove garbage from us and bring forth, again, fertile soil that will bear fruit to the glory of God. Do we want to walk in truth, or do we want to walk in lies? Again, it's a choice, and hear this as well. This is also a test. It's a test of our life, our relationship. There's many who claim the name of Christ that want lies over truth. They want the flesh over the spirit. And sadly, false teachers and false prophets abound, ready to peddle lies like drug dealers. Listen to a few of these scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they, and this is talking about the congregation, this is talking about Christendom, those that name the name of Christ, whether they know Christ or not, only the Lord knows that. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So they don't want the word. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Notice, they. Individuals saying, we don't want the truth. We want to heap up teachers. And again, this is the idea of a stack so high you can't see the top. We don't want the truth. We want liars to lie to us according to the desire of our flesh and then put a little Christian bow on the top. Do you want the truth or do you want fables? There's many peddling fables. We want to stand in the truth of God's word because Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And this is a world full of bondage. I want to walk in truth. My flesh resists it sometimes, but that's got to be put down. Notice 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes through this laundry list of behaviors of men. And then he says here, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. Again, so many want a form of godliness, a form of Christianity, but they don't want the power of the Holy Spirit of God, of the truth of the Word of God. Notice Deuteronomy 13:3. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. And in context, he's speaking of false prophets. For the Lord your God is testing you whether to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. So oftentimes, all of the emphasis is on the false teacher. But you need to know God's word puts just as much emphasis on the person in the pew. What do you want? Do you want truth or do you want to be deceived? Do you want truth or do you want your ears tickled? We are being tested. We absolutely are. And then, of course, Jeremiah 5:30, it so much is a picture of today. It so much lines up with Paul's letter there to Timothy. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. Again, I'll say it again. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. But notice what he says. But what will you do in the end? An end is coming where we're going to give an account for our lives. So you have to want to walk in truth. Secondly, you got to be grounded in truth. To know error, listen, the easiest way to spot error is to be grounded in the truth. But this takes effort. This takes work. And there's many that want a lazy Christianity. And that's not found in the scripture. We're called soldiers. We're called athletes. We're called farmers. As the Lord said, get out there at work, not for our salvation. That work's been completed at the cross of Calvary. But they're not to squander our short life lived here. Jesus says here in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then it says there in Hebrews 5:13, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. So this is a baby child that doesn't work. Just feed me and change me, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Exercise. You ever see guys at the gym, they just stand around and they don't lift any weights? It's not very productive, right? Exercise involves energy. It involves consistency. It involves a dedication. It involves getting in the gym. Listen, I'm in my gym more than any other member. I'm the only guy in my gym. I work out in my backyard, so. But listen, let's exercise ourselves in the Word of God. If you've gotten away from being in the Word of God, this morning you are being exhorted to get back into the Scriptures. We need God's Word more than ever. Let me say, yesterday, this whole past week, I have been so tired physically, mentally, spiritually. I just feel like I've been dragging and dragging and dragging. And I've been praying and praying and praying. I started reading the Psalms this week. It's where I am in my devotions. And Saturday morning, I open up the Psalms, and I'm there in the early 20s there of Psalms. And there's so many Psalms. I read about five Psalms. And over again, multiple times in those Psalms, I'm reading the exhortation, wait on the Lord and he'll strengthen you. Endure and God will strengthen you. And it was just the Lord speaking to my heart, Steve, I want to strengthen you. Steve, keep pushing on. And I just read that and I thought and I said, Lord, I need that. I need that. I need that. And it's like I had a Holy Ghost nap because I took a nap and I woke up and it was like, I'm refreshed. I felt strengthened in my body. I felt strengthened in my mind. I felt strengthened in my spirit. And it came through God reminding me who he was and putting a fresh faith in my heart. Wait on the Lord. Look to God for strength. Also, listen, if we want to take heed, we must sincerely ask God to show us the truth, to ask for discernment. These overlap a bit, but Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So Paul's praying for those in Philippi that they'll have wisdom, they'll have discernment. We think of Solomon, who we looked at recently on Wednesday night in 1 Kings. He's a young man. He's in a place where he has a humility about him. He all of a sudden is thrust in this place to be king of Israel, and he's like, I don't have what it takes to do this. I'm just a kid. And so God appears to me and says, Solomon, ask for me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And he said, I need the ability to judge these people and have discernment, that I can lead them in a proper way. And guess what? God answered that prayer, did he not? Also, again, and again, there's an overlap in these things. We need to be people who love the truth versus the people who love lies. Now, our flesh oftentimes love lies, but we came to Christ because we saw what those lies produced, did we not? Do you have a love for the truth, a desire for the truth, a hunger for the word? Are you, look at, again, it's about knowing the God of the Word, and we fall in love with the God of the Word, but we should also be falling in love with the Word of God. Do you have a love relationship with the Word of God? So many times people say, I got a relationship with God. I'm not in a religion. Translation, I don't read the Word of God. Me and Jesus just have feelings over here for one another. Do you love the Word of God? Oh, God's Word is so good. Guys, I've been preaching in this pulpit for 25, 26, 7 years. I can't even remember. I haven't fallen out of love with it. It's true. It liberates. It stirs. It encourages. God's Word is so good. Oh, give us a fresh love for your Word. Can we say amen to that this morning? 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, and he's the ultimate deceiver. With all power, signs, and notice, lying wonders. Satan can do a few magic tricks to fool the naive, the person that wants a wonder, a sign over the Word of God. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Notice, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned with, that he may condemn who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lord, give us a love for your word. Also, a couple more here. This is great for you list writer downers and so forth. We might not get through the whole passage here. That's okay. But notice, we need to have a fear of the Lord and think on the Word of God. So many words, so many truths to help us in this. Notice Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Oh, Lord, that we could be a people who fear God that speak to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. These shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between righteousness and wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Again, a fear of God is a reverence. I want to turn to the Lord. God has the truth. I want to think on the Lord and his person and his scripture. I want to pray to him because I know he's going to lead me into truth versus into error. And again, this all goes into humbly walking in the truth, not just being hearers of the word, but those that do the word. There it says in Proverbs 28, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son versus shedding it, where it says in Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction. And it's a prideful thing to shun the word. I just want to follow fables, my feelings, what I think, versus God is my maker. I want to be subjected to his word. And then number seven here, and there's so much more, but you got to test everything by the truth. And we've touched on this. Listen, it's not a sin to judge things, just so you know. Now, in the manner you judge, you'll be judged. If you're a hypocrite, if you got a stinking log sticking out of your eye that you're hitting everyone with the head with, and you go around pointing out specks, yeah, you don't want to do that. But the Lord says, get the log out of your eye, then you can see the speck in your brother's eye and help him get it out of his eye. We are called to judge and test all things. We do it in the world and no one shames you. If I've shared it before, hey, I want a bowl of the Captain Crunch. Let me see this milk here. Okay, the expiration date, we're right on the border here. I think I'm going to whiff, take a little smell of the milk. How dare you judge that? Isn't what goes in your soul more important than that goes in your mouth and your stomach? The scripture says he who is spiritual judges all things. Again, he who is spiritual. You're judging by the Spirit of God and in the Spirit of God. As it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Notice, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That means you cast it away if it's not of the Lord. We don't walk in it. We approach it even all the more in truth. We got to test all things. What are we going to do here? We'll just start here and then we'll finish here in about 5 minutes. And we'll just pick it up next week. I'm testing my sermon whether we want to stop or keep going. But we'll go a little bit more here. He says number six or verse six, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Deception abounds. And boy, does not the hearing of wars and rumors of wars abound? Now listen, this in itself, just hearing of wars and rumors of wars, is absolutely a fulfillment of prophecy. Because there was a time when information did not travel the way that it travels today, where you're living in your little part of the world and there might be a complete war going on another continent and you have no idea of it. But boy, we know about everything today, do we not? This is prophecy fulfilled. Speaking of end times, things that would unfold. Daniel was told by an angel of God, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel 12:4. He's speaking of a time when people are going to travel to and fro around the whole world, and knowledge is going to increase. You're going to know what's going on in the world just from your little cave you live in. And then again, we see this in Revelation 11:9, when the two witnesses spoken of are killed and their bodies are laying in the street. It says, then those from the peoples, tribes, and tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies in 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to put in the graves. Well, how could that happen? Again, we know how that can happen today. Again, you pull up a phone and just about everyone in the world has one of those now. There's been a real effort to get one of those in the hands of everyone in the world because, boy, it's a great brainwashing tool by the enemy. Judge what you're looking at. Discern it. It's okay to do that. Cleave to what is good. If it's evil, kick it to the side. And so you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. The hearing of that is a fulfillment of Scripture. And then again, boy, wars are all over the world, are they not? Yes, they started at the fall of man. Yes, they were around even when Christ ascended. But in the last 100 years, we've had 2 world wars, and there's more wars being fought in the world today than any other time in history. And so much of these wars revolve around the nation of Israel, and that's prophesied as well. As the prophet Zechariah says that Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling, a heavy stone. So many eyes on this little nation. Again, it's scriptural, it's biblical. The time's coming when all the nations of the earth will gather against her. But God's going to work that again for her salvation and for him ruling over her for 1,000 years according to prophecy. But listen, it's not just wars, is it? It's also rumors of war. Well, you turn on the news nowadays especially, and most of the talk is about wars going on and then the rumors of war. Is China going to attack Taiwan? How long, again, will this ceasefire remain between Israel and Iran? I give it maybe a month or so. That's going to flare up again. I'm not prophesying. It's just practical knowledge here. We know, again, from Ezekiel 38, 39, there's going to be even a bigger war. Again, so many wars, so many rumors of wars. Now, some of those wars may come about, others will not. And here's the thing with this about hearing rumors. Satan loves to peddle rumors, and he's also a fearmonger. And in the midst of this, the Lord's saying, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, but don't let your heart be troubled. And there's so many even believers that are walking around their hearts so troubled because of wars and rumors of wars. What's going to happen next? But the Lord has told us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be frightened. In Luke's gospel, he says, don't let your heart be terrified or terrorized. For all these things, they have to come about. But the end's not yet. Against the fallen world, men wage wars. Don't tap out. It's par for the course. Again, we know that a lawless one is coming. His name's the Antichrist. And he's going to come along in the midst of great turmoil in the world and be able to negotiate some peace treaties. This is a fact. He affirms a treaty that's already in place. Many believe it's the Abraham Accords will be affirmed by the Antichrist, maybe expanded. They're talking now about Syria joining the Abraham Accords with, again, Israel and her Arab neighbors around there. And will it be that after Ezekiel 38, 39, does Russia and Iran come down again as it's spoken of in the scripture? And after this great war, again, is that when the Antichrist comes and affirms the covenant? Because in the scripture, and I won't read it all because we're going to close here, but 1 Thessalonians 5, it says man's going to come and he's going to bring this treaty, and we're going to get more into this as we go deeper into Matthew, and all the world's going to say, peace and safety, finally! We've been terrorized, we've been so troubled by these wars and these rumors of wars, this onslaught. We just want peace. And he's going to come along, and it says there's going to be this great kumbaya moment. But then it says, suddenly destruction comes upon, are you ready for this? Them. Why them and not us? Because we're not appointed for wrath, and the Lord Jesus Christ is why. Sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. He says, but you are not of darkness, so this day shall not overtake you as a thief. You're sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. We'll pick up there next week. That's a good place to stop. Well, maybe it's not, but that's where we're stopping. So while you stand up, we'll close here in prayer and worship of the Lord. Lord, we bless you today. We praise you, God. We need you, Lord. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we would take to heart, Lord, your instruction here, your exhortation. Oh, Lord, let us not take lightly what's being said here and throughout the scripture in regards to deceivers, as well as in regards to so many that name the name of Christ that want to be deceived, that want their fleshly appetite to be fed, to have a form of godliness, but do not want the power of God or the truth of God. Let that not be us, Lord. And it can easily be us. Give us a hunger for truth, a hunger for you. Let us remember, God, our lives here are short. And we're here now to live for you, to die to self. It's not about me, it's about the Lord. Oh, Lord, let us take on that mentality. Even knowing in that, God, that's where abundant life is found. Indeed, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But as you said, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Give us a thirst for you, God, a hunger for you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Listen, there's only one Jesus. the Son of God. He came into this world as prophesied. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins to pay the penalty, the debt of your sin and my sin. He laid down his life as our debt is death, the second death, hell. He laid down his life. He took it back up. He defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. As the scripture speaks, again, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, lest any church boast, and lest any organization boast and say it's Jesus plus us. That's a false gospel. That's a deception. The blood of Christ will wash you of your sin. And to partake of that, all you must do is humble your heart and call on him in sincerity, and he will meet you where you are. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again today? Have you truly asked him to be the Lord of your life, or have you just been a church member? Do you really know him? If you're saying, Steve, I want to be in that place that I know he's my Lord and my Savior. Oh, you can know that now. The Bible tells us, the Word of God, the Word of truth. It says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a matter of saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you are the Savior. I put my faith in you and you alone to save me. I believe you died for me and rose from the grave. Be my Lord and my Savior now and all my days. Oh, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray in that manner, and God will meet you where you are even right now. Lord, anyone now even praying that, meet them where they are right now in the Lord's name. Seal them with your Holy Spirit even right now, God. We thank you. We praise you, God. We glorify you. We want to lift our voice to you right now. Let's worship the Lord as we close here.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our He lives, Christ. she lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him, there we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy.
Pray God blesses you richly today. Pray you have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.